So we are holding on Yud Aleph. We are holding on Yud Aleph on the days by the first two docks, about a quarter of the way down the Amud. Okay. Yud Aleph on the days, about a quarter of the way down the Amud. Okay. The Mishnah told us what are the rules as far as when women require bedikas and when they don't. And we said that in general, when a woman's going to have relations, she has to use cloth to do bedikas before and after. We talked about a machlokas rishonim, which is also going to affect various parts of the sugya that we're going to learn, whether this is always or whether this exists even nowadays, does it exist only when truma and kodshim are an issue. Anyway, we said that in general they have to use cloth, except unless a woman is yeshevis al dam tohar, unless she's doing the 33 or 66 days when any bleeding occurs at tohar anyway, or a besula, where her blood is tahor, because for the first couple of days after she gets married, she and her husband have relations. For the first couple of days, any bleeding that comes can be assumed to be from the basulin.
Which is tahor,
because it doesn't come from the uterus, it comes from the side.
Well, masking.
That's how it is, yeah. Again, nowadays we don't do that, because we're not expert enough to be able to tell whether there might be mixed in there damn this. So therefore, nowadays, the way we do it is, you do the first bilah mitzvah, and then afterwards you have to separate and consider her naked.
Whether or not there's blood?
No, if there was no blood, then maybe not. But
the time is that she's naked.
No, well, there is a concept. You don't want to have chuppas nidah. So you do want to make sure that the time when they're going to have their first night together is not going to be a time when she's going to be nidah. But even so, there is always a possibility, aside from the fact that dam psulim can easily be confused with dam nidah, there's also the concern, that which we're going to talk about towards the end of the Masechta, there's the concern that under some circumstances, at least, when a woman has a desire to get married or to have relations or whatever, that may cause a little bit of blood to come out of the uterus, which would make her tummy, even though it's not part of her regular. So that's what we're talking about on the first night. Oh, she's previously, then you wouldn't expect, no, so then if she has blood on the first night, it's obviously I'm nidia, yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where she's in the soul, all right. Okay. Anyway, but again, in principle, according to the original din, you have, in some cases, up to four nights, where we can assume that the blood is coming from the basulim, and therefore that's fine. It depends on her age. We're going to learn in the last paragraph. We're going to learn the details. All right. Tanan Hossam. We learn in the last paragraph, at the beginning of the Shemesh Estate, $2. So, Tanan Hossam. We learn in a Mishnah at the beginning of the 10th paragraph, the 10th and last paragraph of Armasekta. The Mishnah starts out, Tinoikas Shleigias Manaleros, a girl who's below the age of having normal re'ias. So she hasn't yet reached puberty, even nisit, and then she gets married. So how long do we have, how many times can it be that she's bleeding, and we assume that it's from basulim? Beth Shammah says only four nights. After that, any further bleeding, we have to assume it means that her periods are starting to come, right? Or basulim machatishya amaka. And basulim says no, until the wound is healed, then any blood that she has is considered to be from the basulim.
So it's not 20 days?
Well, yeah. Actually, we're going to talk about in the last paragraph. We're going to talk about depends basically that we're going to see. There's a lot of different conditions, but that's one we're going to learn one condition over here. First of all, this that we're saying that as long as that no matter how much bleeding there is, it's still considered to be from the basulim in this case, that would only be if there was no break in seeing blood as a result of tashmish. Aval Koska Machmas Tashmish Virasa, but if one time she and her husband had relations and there was no blood, and then the next time they had relations and there was blood, Smeya. Then she's Tome, because then obviously it's not from the Basulim anymore. If it's from the Basulim, it would happen every single time. They did. Also, over Laila Achas Bolei Tashmish, also, even if one night passes where they didn't have Tashmish, and there was no blood during that time, Virasa, and later on after that, there was a Riyah, also Tmeya. Because then, again, for the Basulim, you would expect it to be that every day there should be something. You wouldn't expect there to be a break in between of 24 hours. Well, Laila Achas Bolei Tashmish, we're saying. So 12 hours, fine, whatever. The point is, in other words, that you wouldn't expect it to go that long. and one more, nishtanu maradonim shalosneim. Also, if the color or the, I guess, consistency or anything, if the appearance of the blood is different, so you have a certain color of blood after the Be'ilah Rishon. Now it's different, darker or lighter or whatever. Also tmei, because then there's no reason to assume it's one of the Be'ilah anymore. So, masiv. So those are some of the conditions that we have in this regard. Now, masiv Rav Yonah. So Rav Yonah says, I have a contradiction. We said in our Mishnah, B'sula Shetameh Tahorin, we say that a B'sula, since her blood is Tahor, she does not need to do the B'dikas before and after Tashmish. The question is, am I to Shamish Be'edim? She should still need to use Edim, to use the cloth. Because after all, you might have the color changed. And if the color changes, we're saying that she's tummy. So shouldn't she have to do a bedikah to verify every time that it's the same color? The pashto is because one time it's the solum and another time it's nida.
Nida, the color is not red?
No, of course they're always going to be red, but it might be a slightly different shade of red or something.
One's solum,
one's from damp solum, which is from the sides of the... Well, that's the thing. If we have two different colors, then that's what we're saying. It's two different shades.
Okay, so the inverse could also be true, the same shade and still different origins.
That's true, but then we, at some point. So again, nowadays we would always say she's Tama anyway, but the original din was that we would say that Dam Sulim is Tar. So
according to Rishlakish,
that's first of all, that wasn't Rishlakish. That was that wasn't Rishlakish. First of all, that was not Rabbi Yechanan. That was who was it that we said Levi.
Levi.
But even Levi, when he says Shnei Mayonis, he's talking about they're both in or around the uterus. Just one is Dam Nida and the other one is Dam Toichal. Dam Besulim is a whole different thing. And you actually have, we're going to learn at the beginning of the fourth parak, worth mentioning, by the way, Masechta Nida has both Bavli and Yerushalmi. Unfortunately, we only have the Yerushalmi intact on Nida for the first three parakim and one line of the fourth parak. That one line is a braisa, which we also have quoted in the Bavli when we get there, that there is often a visible difference between Dam Nida and Dam Besulim. They often are different, slightly different in color. So here we're saying, therefore, if the color changes, we can assume that it's not Dam Besulim anymore.
And
so the question
was, did you say the first 2 days, right?
So then the question is,
Let's say she goes to the Zika. If it's done, immediately she's going to see blood.
Dam Nida.
She will have to go further up. And
she's going to have to always, the B'dikka involves going further in anyway. It involves clearer in the dark. Yeah.
But in a case of Sulim, Dam will almost be coming out.
That's true. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, the question is, the Mishnah has said she doesn't need to do a B'dikka because any bleeding that she has, we can attribute to the B'dikka. But the question, that's the question. The question is, Rav Gidol is telling us that, among other things, if the color has changed, then not. So why does she not have to use cloth? That's exactly the question. What if the color is different? Amar Rava, so Rava says, if you're asking the question, Amar Resha, let's go back to the Resha of our Mishnah, where it says, Chutz min ha-nida v'yashevet al dam toyar. We said, as far as the regular twice-a-day B'dikas, we said everybody needs to do them except for a woman who's nidah, because anyway she's tomei, and except for yeshevet al dam toihar, because her blood is tahor, right? One second. Deloitte boy of dikka. Those two were saying don't require the twice a day b'dikas. Al b'sula shademer tahor in boy of dikka. But you're saying that a b'sula, even though the blood that's coming from her during those first few days is tahor, nevertheless she still needs to do the twice a day b'dikas. So why should she need to? If anyway we attribute any blood of hers to dam b'sula, then she should be tahor anyway. So obviously, so don't you seem to have a contradiction within the Mishnah itself? So forget about Rav Gidol, the Mishnah itself. What is it? Does the soul have to do B'dikas or not? So the answer is, it's not a question, because Tan Shishimsha, because one case is talking about where she actually had relations. Throughout those first few days. This that was saying that she doesn't need to use cloth to do B'dikas before and after relations, the reason is because even if she finds blood after relations, and even if it's slightly different in color, we will not say that it's Dam Nidah. We will still say that it's Dam Besulim. De'ema Shamash Ochron. We can say that the Shamash, which is a euphemism for the male organ, caused the color of the blood to change.
Oh,
What do you mean, how can that be? The fact that you have... The fact that they had relations and the fact that you have him involved and the fact that you have semen and all that can change the color of the blood slightly. Therefore, the fact that you find a slightly different color doesn't necessarily mean before it was Basulim and now it's Damnida. It could very well be old Damnida. Therefore, there's no reason for her to do a Bedikah after having relations, because even if you find it slightly different, you're not going to worry. Kan Shaloi Shimsha, as opposed to the first part of our Mishnah, which is saying that she needs to do the twice a day Bedikah, is talking about where she didn't have relations after the first time. This morning, she woke up in the morning and she hasn't yet had relations that morning. So then she needs to do the Bedikah, because now if the color changes, then we have to suspect it's Damnida. Well, that's what we're saying over here, yes. That's what Rava is explaining over here. Can you nami hachi? In fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. When do we say that her blood is tahor? Again, remember, we're talking the original Mishnah that we quoted from the last Perek is talking about where she's below age to be having regular periods anyway. So therefore, there's a much stronger reason to think that any blood from her is Damnida. If she's already of age to have periods, then we say it's not as long. But Shammai says only one night, the Sibyl says four nights, whatever, anyway. So, Bamed Vermum, Shalit Potskamachnas Tashmish Vidasa, Shalit Potskamachnas Tashmish, if there was no break in the blood because of Tashmish, Vidasa Shalit Machnas Tashmish, and when she sees blood, it has nothing to do with Tashmish, Abel Potskamachnas Tashmish Vidasa, but if there was a break where one time she had relations with him, and then after when there was no blood, and later on she saw blood, Tmeya, because then you can't attribute it to Basulim anymore, Abel Laila Achas Shalit Tashmish, also if one night passes where they didn't have relations, Vidasa, and then after that she has a Riyah, also Tmeya, for the same reason, because if it was Dam Basulim, it should be more or less continuous. Obviously not completely continuous, she can't lose that much blood, but in other words, you wouldn't expect that long a break. Nishtanu Maradamim Shalot Tmeya, and again, if the color of the blood changes, then she's also Tomei, with the provision that Rava said over here, that if it changes, if it changed after they had relations, then not. We're going to learn in the last pair if there's more details about it. It depends under what conditions is she bleeding. Is it only when she's sitting? Is it only when she's sitting on hard surfaces, etc.? We're going to learn. Basically, the idea is that
she didn't have, most likely...
then it's most likely Damnida. So the only reason, we would say Damnida is that the color changed, either if the color changed or if there was a break. There was a break in between where there was no bleeding because of Tashmish, or one night where there was no Tashmish, and then, yeah.
If the color changed
without Tashmish, then it means that it's Damnida. And also, even if the color didn't change, but if there was a break, there was one night with Tashmish and no bleeding, or if there was one night without Tashmish and there was no bleeding that night, then, yeah.
So now that explains why you don't have
Bedikas. So that's what it's saying. So what it is she still has to do the twice a day Bedikas in the morning and in the evening because of Paris to make sure the color hasn't changed. But as far as the Bedikas before and after relations, that she doesn't need to, or after relations anyway, she doesn't need to bother with that, because even if the color changes, it's still likely to have changed because of the effect of relations.
She still needs the two.
She still needs the twice a day. Right.
Whether or not she had
relations, because that's not so much as far as relations, that's as far as Truma and Fortune.
But not after.
So we said in the Mishnah two different things. We said they have to do a Bedikah twice a day, in the morning and then first thing in the morning and Beinah Shmoshes, and also before and after they're going to have relations, and we, yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Pamayim Hitzricha L'chola, we said she has to do a Bedikah twice a day, once in the morning and once Beinah Shmoshes. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. This that we're saying, you need Bedikas twice a day, is only as far as Taharis, to make sure, only to make sure that any Taharis or any Truma that she's handled has not become Tomei. But if it's just a matter of to be Mutter to her husband, then she'd be Mutter even without those twice a day Bedikas.
So today we don't do that.
Right. So Gemara says, obviously, Shachas Tanan. We mentioned in the Mishnah that she has to do them twice, once in the morning and once in the evening. And in the morning, they're not going to be having relations. Normally, as we're going to learn in the next parak, that in principle, you're not allowed to. There is an exception. We're going to say over there, Tamas Chacham Mafo B'Talisa. In particular, we're going to talk about in the next parak. It's mentioned in a few places in the chat, but the beginning of the next parak, we're going to talk about this in some detail, some certain rules about when about having relations. And yes, among other things, it's supposed to be in the dark.
So
for Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham, because the point is that Talmud Chacham at least can control himself. If you allow him to do that, he's not going to do it on a regular basis. So therefore, the point is that you're supposed to only do it at night. So therefore, if it's Shachris over here. because okay, the reason why you're not supposed to do it during the reason why you're not supposed to do it in the light is the.
I'm saying the light.
Okay.
I said during the day.
Because for most people, the Chachamim are concerned that if you allow them to do it by just dark, by just closing the blinds, then they're going to overindulge. And the Chachamim do not want people to be overindulging in having relations. However, for a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says, since they know how to control themselves, we expect them to know a little more how to control themselves, then therefore as a once in occasional thing, he feels a tremendous need to then fine. Even that, I mean, you have, for example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions, for example, that David HaMelech made that mistake. He was told by Hashem that he's going to be having a nisoyan in matters of Arayas. He asked Hashem to test him, like the Obbot. Hashem told him, I'm telling you, you're going to have a test in Arayas. So he figures, okay, well, the obvious thing is let me have relations at during the day in that way. That way, you know, I'm spent, and that way I'm not going to have a Yetzirah for it. He forgot, the Gemara says, the fact that the more a person indulges, the more they have a desire for it. Must be a roi, my rivay sevaya must be a roi. And that resulted, that evening, he saw Bathsheba and everything developed from there. As opposed to...
Because
the Gemara says... With one of his wives, he had 18 wives at that point. But he had relations with one of them. Yeah, well, six wives, but actually, yeah, king was allowed to have 18 wives.
Did that contribute more?
Not necessarily, no, but no. Because Shlomo HaMelech had much more. That's true. But the point is, the Gemara says over there that he made a mistake. When it's Almu Menu Halacha, he forgot. Yeah, but he forgot this detail. Marive Seveya must be arrived. Had he not done that, then when he saw Bathsheba that evening, he might not have had such a gate to horror for. He might have just let things slide. Anyway, let's get back to the Gemara over here. Okay. So, and the point is, in other words, that if we're saying that she has to check in the morning, the pashtus is not for tashmish, because usually you're not going to in the morning. So obviously it means that it's only for tashmish. Ella, Itmar HaSeifa, you're right, this statement of Shmuel was actually said in connection with the Seifa of the Mishnah. Not the Resha, but the twice a day B'dikas, but when the Seifa, when the Mishnah continues, or Shashi, Yeveris, Shamash, Beza, that she has to do B'dikas before she's going to have relations. Amr of Yehudah HaShmuel, Shana Ella B'Isha HaSukha B'Taharis. This only applies to a woman who is involved in preparing Taharis. Demigo, Deboya B'dikka L'Taharis, Boya Nami B'dikka L'Baila. Since she already needs to check for the sake of her Taharis to make sure that, as it is, she has to check after Tashmish because she has to make sure that she wasn't Roya Machmas Tashmish. She has to make sure that then afterwards, if she goes and starts working with Taharis, that they're not going to become Tomei, then therefore, Boya Nami B'dikka L'Baila. Therefore, we're going to require her also to do an extra B'dikka before Tashmish to make sure that she's not Tomei when she has relations with her husband. Aval Eina Asuka B'Taharis, but Shmuel would be saying, if she's not at all involved in preparing Taharis, Loy Boya B'dikka, then she doesn't require that B'dikka.
That's Shmuel
explaining the Mishnah. He's not arguing with the Mishnah. He can't do that. So the question is,
she's not preparing Taharis,
one second. My Kamash Malon, the question is, then in that case, what is Shmuel's Chiddush? Tanena. We learn in the next parak, Kol Hanoshim Bechazkas Tahar L'Balayim. All women have a chazaka of being Tahar for their husbands. So obviously our Mishnah that's requiring B'dikas must be talking about where she's involved in Taharis. And we're saying once she has to do a B'dikah afterwards for the sake of the Taharis that she's going to continue doing later that evening, then we also require her to do an extra one beforehand for the sake of
Balayim.
So
when they have to do B'dikas twice a day, which is...
But that's as far as Terum of a Kodeshim. One second. We have a whole sugya over here. Wait. The answer is, yes, but if we only had the Mishnah that told the next parak that tells us that insofar as their husbands would consider them tahor, hava amina, then we would think, hani mili b'isha shiyash lo vest. Maybe that only applies to a woman who has a regular vest. So that we're saying, that she has a chazaka of being tahor for her husband, and therefore she doesn't need b'dikas. When she has a regular... No, in other words, outside of the time of the vest. She has already an established vest, a vest kavua that she's going to have, let's say, every Rosh Chodesh, so outside of that time. Exactly.
How many days?
For most of the time. Well, in other words, if let's say her vest is that she's going to have every Rosh Chodesh, let's say, whatever. So it means, for the 7 days she's Tomei anyway, because she's Tomei Nida for 7 days. So fine, between Aleph and Zion she's Tomei, but the rest of the time, in particular the 11 days after that, which are the Yemei Zivah, should be Torah, right? Aval, the Isha, Aval Isha She'en Rovef, but you would think if she doesn't have a regular Rovef, Boya B'dika, maybe she should require B'dika. So therefore, that's Shmuel's Kiddush, that nevertheless she doesn't need. That's the next question. Isn't our Mishnah talking about a woman who has a vest kavura? Because the Mishnah says, even though we said Daya Shaita, which refers to a woman who has a vest, nevertheless, she still needs to do the bedikah twice a day for the sake of Taurus. So we're talking about she has a vest, and nevertheless, for Taurus, we're being more machmas. Outside of that. Incidentally, by the way, the Moshe Feinstein talked about in one place in Igros Moshe, he asked, what's the logic? I mean, why would we say we're more machmas on Truma and Kodshim than her relation with her husband? I mean, to be boiled nidya is Chayav Karin. Think of a couple of truma and to be metamet truma and kodshim is not in and of itself an issur karet. Well, if a person eats truma and kodshim not a tamei, they'll have nisvei deshamayim. But nisvei deshamayim is still less than karet. Anyway, that's how it is. Karet is also mitzvah. It's a neshama being cut off. Okay, the point is in other words, karet is more severe. Anyway, he gives two answers. One of them is that the fact is we see in a way the Torah is more machmir on Truma v'Kodshim because you have many different korbanos that are needed for various cases of Truma v'Mikdash v'Kodshim. You have the korban Ol v'Yored, where you have the various korbanos of Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, and certain korbanos of Yom Kippur. So in that sense, the Torah itself is more machmir on it. And another point is also that, look, as far as relations with her husband, on a Doraisa level, she's only Tomei, only if there was Hargosha, only if she actually felt a sensation connected with the blood coming out. The whole concept that she's Tomei even without that is only Dirabam. As opposed to, on the other hand, when it comes to... No, anytime. Minat Torah, she's only Tomei if she has some kind of Hargosha. What exactly the nature of the Hargosha is, you have a number of different Rishonim talk about different possibilities, but whatever, the point is there has to be some kind of Hargosha. So that's the Machlokes, whether it means that she feels an actual flow of blood, whether it means that she feels some kind of sensation at that time, whatever, something different, right? But anyway, so that's that. On the other hand, the fact is, when the blood comes out, it's going to be metameher anyway. As soon as it reaches the outside of her body, it's going to be metameher, and the Truma and Kodshim are going to be tameher, and therefore that's another...
That's not enough to make her tummy?
No, there's a Hargosha that is enough to make her tummy, but the point is, not necessarily are we talking about there was a Hargosha over here. If there was a Hargosha, she doesn't need to be.
You said for the Hargosha, and then you said when she sees the blood.
But on the other hand, the fact is when the blood comes out, she's going to be tummy no matter what. But the point is, when she has Hargosha, fine. But the point is, if there was no Hargosha, then she's not tummy for her husband, but eventually the blood is going to be metame her just by touching it, because the blood itself is tummy, and it's going to be metame her. Anyway, so the question is, again, that our Mishnah is talking about a woman who has a vest, and we're still saying she needs a twice a day bedikas. The answer is, Masnis in Vensha Yeshla vest, Vensha Emo vest. Actually, the Mishnah is talking about whether she has a fixed vest or not. Either way, the definition of a vest means fixed. In other words, if she has a vest, which means a fixed one, or she doesn't, she has different times. That's the point. She has no vest. Yeah. Vaha Kamash Malan. Therefore, no, what the Mishnah is telling us is exactly what we said. The Chiddush, when the Mishnah starts off, even though Daya Shaita, namely that she has a vest, nevertheless she needs to do the bedikas, that's the point. The Mishnah wants to tell us, even though she has a fixed vest, she knows it's only going to begin Rosh Chodesh in general, that she's going to be bleeding. Nevertheless, because she always needs the twice a day bedikas as far as Taurus, just in case there's a fluke and blood comes at an odd time, for Truma and Kodshim, yeah. Boyanami, Bajika Labaila, then therefore she needs also Bajika for her husband. So that's what Shmuel is telling her. The parallel is, once you're making her do Bajika twice a day, then also you're saying that when she's had relations, then we're going to require her to do a Bajika When she's dealing with Truma and Kodshim, she anyway has to do bedikas twice a day, plus she has to do a bedikah after each time she has relations, because then she's going to continue. One second. Once we say that, then already we can require her to do another bedikah before relations, because she's already doing a bunch of bedikas anyway. So therefore, we can require her to do one more to make sure, just to be on the safe side, to make sure that she's not a nidda before she has relations with her husband. But if we're not going to be requiring her to do the other bedikas, then there's no reason to require her to do one before relations. So the question is, so we've talked a few times already, and it comes up in this sugya as well, that you have the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh on the one hand versus most of the other Rishonim on the other hand, whether nowadays does a woman require the bedikah before and after relations. The Rambam holds that at least she's required to have the one that at least she is required to have the one afterwards.
It's just because in case of
tomorrow, right, but the Rambam would understand that that's talking about the one before, but the one after you're required either way. That's fine. Okay, the point is the Rambam would understand the one before is only required when you're dealing with Taurus. The one after is required either way. That's how the Rambam would learn. On the other hand, again, that's how the Rambam understands our Gemara. On the other hand, and the various other Gemaras on the subject, on the other hand, most of the other Rishonim disagree, and we've talked about the idea. There is the concept when a couple first gets married, they do need bedikas the first couple of times to verify that she's not Roya Machnas Tashmish, but once that's been established, then they're good for the rest of their lives. Then they don't need bedikas point. Most of the other Rishonim say that, and that's how Paskin and Shulchan Aruch.
That's the halacha.
Once it's been established, there's not Roya Machnas Tashmish, then we're good for it. Right. So the question is... Right. Now, so there is a separate... No, as far as I know, not. There's not just the Rambam, you have other Rishonim as well. But anyway, now there is the fact when it's coming close to the time of her vest, then they have to separate. That's why we keep the calendars. You have to be for Oinabeninis and for Vestachodish and whatever, just to be on the safe side. That concept we're going to talk about in more detail much later in the Masechta, the times when you need to separate. Okay. So the question is, well, Amar Shmuel Chodazimna, even that though, didn't Shmuel already say this concept that even if a woman doesn't have a regular vest, she doesn't need to do bedikas in order to have relations with her husband, unless there are tyrants involved, because the Amar of Zera, Amar of Abba B'Yumi, Amar Shmuel, Isha She'en La Vest, Asur La Shamash Adjetetek, a woman who does not have a vest, says Shmuel, is not allowed to have relations until she does a bedikah. Now, on the surface, that sounds like any time, but the Gemara explains at the end of our parak, Ba'asukah B'Taris, that we're talking about specifically a woman who is going to be involved with preparing Taris. So therefore, if no Taris, she also can have relations without a bedikah, but only if there's Taris involved. No Taris, no bedikah. Again, according to the most Rishonim, it would mean both bedikahs. Right, so why is Shmuel repeating himself? The answer is he didn't say it twice. Chodem ikor chaver teitmar. Shmuel said one of these statements, and we deduced the other ones.
The other one was deduced. So it has to be the Braisa was said first.
Well, the Braisa, no, we're not talking about Shmuel. Not saying the Braisa. Shmuel is explaining. We're explaining on the basis of the Braisa. So Tosfos says the one that we started with over here, that if she's also for Taurus, then once she has to do bedikas for that, then she needs for her husband. That was the one that was inferred from the other one. Tosfos says no, because the other one didn't say that she's also for Taurus. So Tosfos explains that the one that was saying over here that if she's Osik Patara, because she needs a bedikah for Taurus, therefore she needs for her husband, first he said that and then they inferred the other one. Okay. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn like that in a Bryce also, but Medgarum the Taurus. Yeah, when do we say that she needs a bedikah? Is only as far as Taurus. Ava labayla muteris, but as far as her husband, she's mutter without bedikah. Again, according to most Rishonim, that would mean without bedikah, period. And according to the Rambam, it would mean without bedikah before. When is this? Now, you were saying, of course, how can a woman always have a cheskas tahara? When is this? If he left her with a cheskas tahara. So he left and went out of town, let's say, for a couple of days when she was tahar, and now he came back. It's still not the time of her vest yet. But if when he left, she had a chazaka of being tahara, then we always have to assume she's tahara. Until she actually says, I am Torah, which is why we have nowadays, the halacha is, when after a woman goes to the mikveh, her husband, she has to either volunteer the information or her husband has to ask her and she needs to answer, yes, I toveled. Otherwise, they're not allowed to have relations because she had a chazaka being taught. It's not so obvious, you would think. You dropped her off at the mikveh, you paid your fee in advance. It doesn't matter. The point is, he knew before, he knows that for the past week she was Tomei, so now he wasn't there when she toveled, obviously. So now she needs to actually tell him to hold on in order for them to be able to have relations. Because otherwise you don't have what to break the chazaka with.
She has to tell him
to hold on, right.
He even if she sees her going into the
he doesn't see her dipping in the mixer.
He
goes into the building, but so what? It could happen for whatever reason. She didn't go. Maybe there's a long line or whatever. Should a woman do a bedikah in order to have relations for relations for her husband? And here you also have the same machlokas. Tosfos says we're talking about before tashmish, and Tosfos says we're talking about before tashmish. Should she do that or not?
We said
she doesn't need to. So the question is, Reb Zeira
doesn't need to, right?
When there's no truma and kodshim, then I'm saying afterwards she does, right?
So, why are we asking?
Because the question is, should she? Omer leloy tivdek, and Reb Yehuda says she actually should not.
But then
so the question is, but no, if there's truma and kodshim, then you have to.
Yes,
but so in other words, the point is, no. Then it's not just then not just that you don't have not just that you don't have to, but you shouldn't. So the question is, v'tivdek omavakach, what's the problem? Let her do a bedikah. What harm could it do? Yeah. The answer is, imkein libay noik for your polish. The answer is that then her husband is going to be nervous and he may withdraw and not have relations with her. Why? What are the various problems? So Tosfos brings here from Rabbeinu Hananel that the guy sees his wife doing a bedikah. He thinks to himself, why on earth would she be doing a bedikah now? Must be she had a hagosha. Mm-hmm. She must have felt something.
Before Tashmish.
So what happens? He sees her doing a bedikah. So he may think, you know what? Why would she be doing a bedikah all of a sudden? Must be that she had some kind of hagosha. In that case, then maybe we better not have relations. That's one explanation. There's different other explanations.
They don't speak in English.
What?
They don't speak in English.
No, even if they speak. I mean, he sees her doing a bedikah.
No,
but you're not supposed to. That's what we're saying. She's not required to. Lafishi yadat shacham le'tiknu livdek, Tosa says. She knows the chacham did not make a takana. She knows that the chacham did not make a takana. She needs to do a bedikah. Yes,
really?
No, well, they're talking about that, yeah. So why would she be doing it? Must be that she must have felt something that she's concerned. Different other Rishonim point out different other considerations that Libra notes for. He might, for example, start getting nervous. Okay, she did a bedikah. What if she didn't do a full bedikah? What if she didn't get it into all the churinus ducking or whatever? And then he's going to be nervous. I might end up being boil mid.
Before Tashmish.
Because we don't want him to be prevented from perivativia. We don't want that he's going to see her doing a bedikah and he's going to start getting nervous and saying, you know what, maybe to be on the safe side, we better not do it. And that would be interfering.
That's
Libra Nosfa. It means he's going to be nervous or Polish, and then he's going to hold back. We don't want him from having Tashmish. We don't want him. Right. Okay.
So that's
why you shouldn't do it. You should not do it unless you're required to.
Or else
so again,
you shouldn't do it.
Well, maybe. Okay. Another point that some of the Mephoshim point out is we just said before that Tashmish is supposed to be at night and there's not supposed to be any light. So if you're doing a bedikah, of necessity, you're not looking at it right there because you don't necessarily, or even if you have, all you have is candlelight to look at.
So what you do is you do
the bedikah and then you set it aside and look at it in the morning. So now you have, then there's a real problem. He's going to see she did a bedikah, and now he's going to start getting nervous. What happens if it really came out no good, and now we're going to be having relations, and only in the morning, and we discover that we had a problem. So that's why we don't want her to do it. Okay. Another question. Bominir of Abba Minavona. Well, okay, fine. Bominir of Abba Minavona. Isha Mao Shetibdek Asma Kashir Vest. We learned before, among the meanings of the word vest, besides that it means the fixed time between one period and the next, we said before, we learned earlier in this parak, that the word kashir vest also means a very short amount of time. So should the woman do a bedikah right as soon as possible after having relations, kedelachayev by lachatas, with the result that if it comes out no good, if it comes out dirty, then it will mean that her husband, and she also for that matter, are going to be chai b'chatas for having had relations as a nidah b'shogeg.
She has a very short vest?
No. The question is like this. Should she maybe be doing a bedikah right after having relations, as soon as possible after? Because like this, if she does a bedikah sometime later and she finds it bloody, maybe it happened while they were having relations, maybe it was not. Maybe not. That wouldn't be enough to be machai of either of them a chatas, because it wasn't necessarily. Maybe it would be an Ashim Toluy, probably not even that, we learned in Chrysos. But anyway, if she did the bedikah immediately afterwards, then that would establish, are they chayv achatas or not? If it comes out bloody, then it means, obviously, it happened during Tashmish. So should she be doing that?
Doing
a bedikah immediately after having relations. Amarle, So again, according to the Rambam, we would be saying...
Before
we're talking about before, now we're talking about after. Now we're talking immediately after. So again, according to the Rambam, it would mean she has to anyway do after, and the only question is, she should do it immediately after, or should she do it maybe a little later? According to everybody else, that she's not required to before, that she's not required to after, then the question is, should she do it right after? Amarlei, Sarav Huna says, realistically, how anyway would you be able to do a bedikka within that time of vest, within that very short amount of time? We learn in a bris, the beginning of next parak, a zehu shiur vest. What is the shiur vest where we say that if blood was found, then it makes them chayav achatas? Picture you have the shamash, the aver, the male organ, and the aid, the cloth that she's gonna do the bedikah with, that are standing there next to the threshold or next to the lintel of the door, like immediately right there. As soon as the shamash comes out, immediately the aid goes in. Realistically, that's not gonna happen. Have a vest shomer l'kinuach v'lo l'bedikah. And therefore, you must necessarily say that when we talk about sheer vest in the next parak, that could make them chayav achatas, does not involve a full bedikah, because you can't really do a full bedikah like that so immediately afterwards. It would just mean an external wiping. And that if you find blood on it, then it would be mechayav. So therefore, so you obviously can't really have a bedikah kashir vest anyway. So what exactly is the question? Ella, okay, so Abba says, let me clarify the question. Ma'ushu t'kaneach. Okay, but should she wipe immediately afterwards in order to tell whether they're chayav chatos? Kanach means to wipe externally, right, as opposed to a bedikka involves an internal examination. Ikadamri, another version of the question is, another version is that Rav Abba's question to Rav Huna is, Isha ma'u shetivdik asma k'dil chayav baila osham toluri, should she be checking a real bedikka, not immediately afterwards, fine, because it's impossible, but very shortly afterwards, and then if it turns out that there's blood on it, then maybe chayav and osham toluri, because then we don't know whether it happened during the tashmish or not. Amalo, lo tivdik, and again, Rav Huna tells him she should not. Question is, like before, b'tivdik or mabakach, what's the problem? How can it hurt to do a bedikah? And the answer is the same as before. Can liba neifkoy or potash, the same thing. You're going to have a problem that he's going to get nervous. He's going to get nervous. If you're requiring her to check after bia, then he's going to be nervous before bia and abstain and
say afterwards he has to.
Because he would hold that you have to sometime later because you do have to. But not very shortly afterwards. But rather, because the difference is, if it's quite some time later, then...
The body is still going to question.
No, but then already, I mean, you do have to check whether she was really a machnas tashmish, according to the Rambam. You do always have that concern. But, you know, maybe it is now or afterwards. If it's a long time later, he's not going to be so nervous about it. Okay.
How long?
I don't know.
Obviously, if the husband was a kohen, it's a different story.
No, what is being a kohen have to do with that? A kohen.
Because either way,
if he hands, even if, well, as far as eating truma, you're saying, okay, maybe, I don't know.
If she's a wife of a kohen, he wouldn't be nervous because the reason why she's checking because I might want to eat truma. So that's why she's checking more.
Okay, well, she herself, we did say in the Mishnah that if she's a wife of a Kohen or a daughter of a Kohen, we did say, yeah, that she has to check. We did say she has to check more often.
And her husband will get nervous because truma,
Okay, but, you know, there's
no,
all...
Then he will know that it's because of
truma. Yeah, then he'll know it's because of truma, exactly.
So then he's not going to be nervous. Yeah. Right. But if he's not a Kohen,
right,
that's a lady,
right.
Then it's different. So
right. Fine. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah over Shah Shihar Zerasahullah, we said in the Mishnah that another time she needs to do a bedikah is that we said she has to do a bedikah before she's going to be having relations. So Amr of, again, we said only because of Turma and Kalshim. So Amr of Ami, Amr of Yana, Vizel Eidon Shal Tznuas. This is the aid of the Tznuas. The word Tznua means Tzniasik, but it also means somebody who's careful. Rashi says Midas Chassidus Shanukan. It's not an actual Chiyuv to be doing it.
To do what?
To be doing this Bedikah. So let's figure that out. That's what we have to figure out. Hold on. So Adon on the surface means the aid, in other words, again, the cloth that she's using to check. This is the special aid that a sneer-sticker woman uses. On the side of it here, it brings from the Aruch a different explanation that the word Edon, with the Yud, can also mean a time. So it means this is the time when the sneers do an extra bedeka. In other words, it's not something required, it's only made a chassidus. Amalek of Abba Memelot of Ami, what do you mean? Tana Toni Tzrichas. The Tana in the Mishnah used the word that Tzrichas, that they have to do this. Not Toni Tznuas, you're saying it's only made a chassidus? Amalek, so Rab Ami answers, Shani Omer, well, I would say, Kolamakayim Divi Chachamim Nikra Tzanua. If a person is following what the Chachamim say to do, they're called a Tzanua. So yes, we can say that this is Edon Shol Tznuas. The fact that she's following to the letter exactly what the Chachamim say entitles her to be called a Tznuah. Omar Rava, but Rava says, what do you mean then? So he's saying, and if they don't listen to Tznuahu Delei Mikri, Harosha Le Mikri, are you saying they don't get the special classification, the special title of Tznuah, but you don't call them a Rosha either? The fact that they're being over on Divrei Chachamim should make them a Rosha. There shouldn't be a middle ground, not a Tznuah, right? By the way, you know, you have at the end of the first page of Tanya, when the Alter Rebbe is dealing with the question over there, what exactly is a Beinoni versus a Rosha? And, you know, you have the usual understanding that the Velt has, that a Beinoni is half mitzvah, half Averis, and the Alter Rebbe is talking about over there, what do you mean? You know, a person does one Avera, they're called a Rosha, and he mentions the person is over even on Divrei Chachamim, they're called a Rosha, and refers to Peret Kama Denida. That's our Gemara over here. So, right, yeah. Okay. So, Ela. Peret Kama Denida, the first Peret of Nida. Yeah, we're still in the first Peret. Yeah. Ela Omar Rava. So Rava says, no. What it means is like this. The Bedikah you have to do either way. That's a requirement. What it is like this. The difference between
either way, meaning
before Tashmish. The Chachamim required, when there's Truma and Kodshim involved, that she has to do a Bedikah Lifnei Tashmish. So, Rava says what it means is like this. What's the difference between Tznuah and everybody else? That Rav Yana had said, Vezeo Eidon Shol Tznuah. It's like this. The Tznuah, they do an extra step. What they do is Eid Shabodku Asmam Lifnei Tashmish there, Eid Bodkus Boy Lifnei Tashmish Acher. If they use a particular cloth to do a Bedikah before one Tashmish, they won't use the same cloth to check before another Tashmish. Because once you use it the first time, even if there was no blood, still, it's like it's not so quite so bright white anymore. It's like a little duller.
You cannot use it for a second time.
No, why not? If it came out clean on the face of it, you could. Why not? There's no blood on it. But the point is, it's not as clean. It's not as bright white as it was before. It's a little bit duller. Therefore, you have a drop of blood on it. It might not even be noticeable. So the tznuahs are careful because of that. The she'enen tznuahs, as far as the not tznuahs, they will use the same cloth again and again, and they don't worry about that. The fact is, it's not necessarily that it's going to be an issue. So therefore, the not tznuahs don't worry about it. They just use the same cloth again and again as long as it came out clean. The tznuahs will use a different cloth. So, it's not something that's chum required. That's why we're saying that the tznuahs do that. Okay. Gufa. Getting back to, now, like you said something earlier in the Surya. We said Omer of Zera, Omer of Yemi, Omer of Abba, Yemi, Omer Shmuel. Isha she'en la vest, the woman who does not have a regular fixed vest, asura l'shamish ad shetibdek. So we said Shmuel had said she's not allowed to have relations until she does a bedikah. And we said, well, so far in the Gemara we had a preview of it before. We said Ukimna. We end up explaining that this is talking about when she's also kataris. But right now we're dealing with that. We haven't yet. Let's assume we don't know that point yet. We're gonna get to it, and we're gonna eventually develop that point. So. On the face of it, it sounds like she's not allowed to have relations until she does a bedikah ever.
Well, it's
a
formulated here.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Ein la vest boya bedikah, yesh la vest loy boya bedikah. So what do you mean? Does that mean that only if she has no vest, she requires a bedikah, but if she has a vest, she doesn't? The Mishnah was talking about a woman who has a vest, and we said that she needs, and we said that she needs a bedikah.
Which is the opposite
of what we're saying now. Amalei, sort of Rav Abba Bar Yemi answers, the difference is like, yesh la vest, if the woman has a regular vest, then it depends. When do we need a bedikah, when not? Eira boya bedikah, if she's awake, then she requires a bedikah. Yeshena loy boya bedikah, if she's asleep, she doesn't require a bedikah. Now, what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations. One is, if she's awake, then after they have relations, she might well decide to go and then start working on preparing Tara's food. So once we said before that the reason for these vedikas in the Mishnah is because of taharas. So once we're requiring her to do for taharas, then already we require her before relations as well. So if she's as opposed to if she's asleep, she's not going to be working on taharas anyway. So therefore, there's no reason to require her to do a bedikah before relations.
Number two, she wouldn't have an argasha when she's asleep.
No, well that's okay. No, that's not the point, because a bedikah, if she finds blood in a bedikah, she's going to be tummy anyway. But the whole concept of argasha is only if the blood comes out without a bedikah. But anyway, Rashi says a second explanation, which is if she's asleep.
If she has a hargasha, she has to check herself.
That's true.
So why do you say the hargasha is only there because there's a rea of blood?
If she has a hargasha, and then as soon as she needs a bedikah, right? And if blood comes out of the bedikah, then she's coming, right? Okay. Okay, anyway, Rashi gives a second reason, which is if she's awake, then she's already awake. It's not a problem to wake her up and do it. If she's asleep, it would be a big bother to wake her up. So therefore, the chachamim are not going to be matriach her to wake up and do it. No, meaning, in other words, that if her husband wants to have relations with her while she's asleep. Now, Tosfos points out on the face of it, the Gemara in Nedarim says you're not supposed to. Oh. Now, by the way, that's not so simple in itself, because the Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara in Nedarim actually does not mention a woman who's asleep. So Agoris Ma'arav Ranshburg over here brings that maybe what it is Tosfos is maybe not referring to Masechta Nida, but maybe either they had a different Girsa, or they're quoting rather not from the Gemara in Nedarim, but rather from Masechta Kala. That is inappropriate. There's a Masechta Kala. It's not one of the regular Masechtas. It's one of the Masechtas Katanis that are printed at the end of Seder and Nezikin in most Shasin.
There's also one called Kutim, indeed.
So there's about a dozen of them. Anyway, the Gemara and Dorim over there mentions that there's 9 conditions under which a man should not be having relations with his wife. And if they do, then the children are likely to have bad midas or whatever. For example, there's anusa, he's not supposed to force her into it. B'nei snua, if he hates her, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole bunch of different ones. So it doesn't list over there Yeshena, but Ma'arav Ranshburg says either Tosfos had the gear so that it does, or they're quoting from the Masechta Kala, which also has that. Or another explanation, some of the Achronim say, is if she's sleeping, that amounts to an onus also, because she doesn't know. Anyway, the point is, so that's the question. And how is the Gemara saying that if she's asleep, then he's allowed to have relations with her? So Tosfos gives 2 answers. Either what it means is the Gemara is not talking over here from the point of view of that. The Gemara is talking strictly from the point of view of Hilchos Nida. From the point of view of Hilchos Nida, if she's asleep, you don't require her to wake up to do a bedikah. From the point of view of the halachas of Derech Eretz, from the point of view of the halachas of Tashmish, he should be woke up. The other answer, Tosfos says, is we don't mean she's completely asleep, but like she's not alert enough. If he were to ask her, are you Tahar or not, she's not going to be coherent enough to answer. So she's awake enough to
She had Tashmish, and then she died, and she falls asleep slightly. She's neither here nor there.
The point is, in other words, what we're saying is, what the Gemara is saying over here, if when he wants to have relations with her, she's awake, then she has to do the, and we're talking about she's Oisik Vataris, then she has to do the Bedikah first. Either because afterwards she might conceivably decide to get out of bed and work on Taris, or because she's anyway awake enough and it's not such a tircha to wake her up. So if she falls asleep afterwards, then that's already locked on mice, so we're talking about beforehand. Anyway, Yishena, like Boya Bedikah, so if she has a vest, then if she's asleep, she doesn't require a bedikah. In principle, he could have relations with her even without her doing a bedikah, because she has a regular vest, and therefore we know this isn't the time of it. As opposed to Ein La Vest, what Rabbi Abba Bayimia says, what Shmuel means is, if she has no vest, Bein Eiro, Bein Yishena, Boya Bedikah, then whether she's awake or asleep, either way she needs to do a bedikah. But we're still talking about where she's involved with Taurus. If there's no Taurus, then she anyway doesn't need the bedikah beforehand. But the difference is that our Mishnah that mentions when she needs to do vedikas is talking about when she has a vest, where there's a difference awake or asleep, and Shmuel is talking about where she doesn't have a vest. Amar Rava, so Rava says, why do you need to give that answer? Why isn't there a different way of reconciling it? The Lay Malay, why can't Rav Abi of Bayumia give a different answer? Not a difference of whether she's awake or asleep. V'lemalei, let him tell him. Let Rav Abba Bayumia answer Rav Zera to reconcile it. That, like this, yesh la vest, if she has a vest, Lataris Boya Badika Labailalai Boya Badika. Then she only needs a Badika where it's relevant to Taris, but not where it's just a question of having relations with her husband. Ain La Vest, but if she has no vest after the Labaila, Nami Boya Badika, then she should require a Badika even to have relations with her husband, because at any time she might flee. Umidaloy Omalai Hoski. So Rava says, since Rav Abba Bayumya did not give that answer, Shmamina, Kasava Shmuel, we can see from that that Shmuel holds, call Labaila Loy Boya Badika. When it comes to having relations with her husband and there are no tariffs involved, she does not need a Badika beforehand.
Either way,
whether she has a vest, whether she doesn't have a vest. Right. Again, so according to most Rishonim, she doesn't require afterwards either. According to the Rambam, she does. And again, you have the matter of that the many of the Rishonim say, and it's brought lahalacha, that the first couple of times they do need to just to verify that she's not really a machmas.
But according to Shmuel,
she doesn't need.
She has a vest or she doesn't
right.
have a vest.
Right.
The halacha is like Shmuel.
Halacha is like Shmuel, yeah. Well, the Rav is not arguing over here. Yeah. You don't have Rav's opinion. You don't have any opinion on Rav. There's no Rav opinion.
Up to now.
Right. Okay. We learn in a bright. The more on this.
So that's the final halacha.
So that's how it is. So she doesn't require. So a woman
is,
does.
This is nowadays.
In Shulchan Aruch, these halachas are brought. So a woman in general does not need, according to the vast majority of poskim, a woman. Okay. So according to everybody, a woman doesn't need bedikah before tashmish. According to the Rambam and the Rosh, she does require afterwards. According to most other Rishonim, she does not.
The Rambam and the Rosh,
yeah. But according to most other Rishonim, she doesn't, and the Halacha is accepted like that. The Rambam is not a Rishon, the Rambam is an Achron. But yeah, he brings these Halachas, yeah. The Rambam, I think, is the one who mentioned about the fact that the first three times that you have to verify that she's not Roya Machmas Tashmish. Okay. Fine.
She's not Roya
Machmas Tashmish. You want to make sure that having relations itself doesn't trigger a period. If it does, then you have a problem. We're going to talk about it on the base. Okay.
But that's just three times, though.
Right. Well, so the first three times you need to check. Once you found that three times, that
basically, if she takes medication, let's say that might put her in a situation where she can bleed more easily, like she takes aspirin or she takes medications like that. What happens?
It's a good question. I don't know. She might be a problem. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we're learning on Omid Beis. Roya Machmas Tashmish is a pretty serious issue, and it may require them to get divorced. I mean, nowadays they would take medical treatment for it. But yeah, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Chamorin of Poland.
Three times
as usual. You need for a chazaka, right? Okay. Tananaban chamorin, donkey drivers who can be away from home for a few days or a few weeks at a time, or poilin, or workers, same thing, they may be out of town for a few days on a job, or if they're coming back from a shiva house or from a wedding, where again they might have been away for a while.
Their
wives have a cheskas tara, and therefore the husband is allowed to be together with his wife and to have relations with her. Whether she's asleep or awake. Again, with the caveat that Tosfos had said before about that maybe if she's asleep, he shouldn't be having relations with her on the grounds of what it says in Nidr and in Nidarim. No, or whatever. It doesn't. Again, it means either that we're talking strictly from the point of view of Hilchos Nidr, or it means, like Tosfos said, it means she's completely asleep, it means she's half asleep, whatever. When is this talking about? Like we said before, Sheinichan b'cheskas tahara, only if when he left his wife, she had a cheskas tahara. Abel hinichan b'cheskas tumah, but if when he left, she had a chazaka of being tamei. La'olam hi tmeya, then he has to continue assuming that she's tamei. Ad shetoma lo tahorani, until she tells him, I am tahor.
You think she did a
bedikah? No, well, she did a bedikah or she went to the mikveh. Okay. No, if he left her b'cheskas tmeya, then she needs to go to the mikveh at some point. Yeah.
Also, if he's gone for a month.
So then we're going to talk about that in the next paragraph. Right, we're not talking about obviously if he's gone for more than a regular cycle. Yeah, we're talking about he's away for a few days or whatever. Fine. So the question is, now how would Shmuel, the opinion of Shmuel that we said before about when she requires bedikas and when not, what would Shmuel say the scenario? We said over here that if he left her b'cheskas tara, then it's fine whether now she's asleep or awake. And if she's b'cheskas tuma, then she actually has to tell him she's tahor. So, either she has a vest, if we're talking about she has a regular vest, and the time for that vest hasn't come yet, kasha era, then why is she it's a problem with the case where she's awake. If she's awake, Shmuel had said before, she should require a bedikah, because she's awake anyway, and she might work with Taurus afterwards, or it's not a hassle to wake her up. The either she'ain la vest, and if she has no vest, kasha ben eida ben yashena. Then how does it work? Whether she's awake or asleep, Shmuel had said before that she requires that she, we said, we explained before, Rav Abba Bayumi explained Shmuel to be saying that either way she'd require a bedikah.
If
she has a vest, then when if she's awake, she needs a bedikah. And if she's asleep, then either, and if she doesn't have a vest, then either way she requires a bedikah. That's the question. Kasha eira, then it would be a problem with the case where she's awake, because the Braita is saying if she's awake, then she's mutter to him, and Shmuel is saying if she's awake, she needs a bedikah first.
Right.
And if she has no vest, then whether she's awake or asleep, Shmuel was saying before she needs a bedikah, and here the Braita is saying that, and here the Braita is saying that she's mutter to him if he left her b'chazkas tahara.
Without a bedikah.
Right. The answer is la'olam b'shiyesh la'vest. Actually, the Braita Shmuel would say is talking about where she has a vest, but the kibin shetava, but what it is the husband is asking her, I just got back from a trip. Can we have relations? There's no greater bedikah than that. Because, in other words, then if she didn't know that she's tahor, then she would right away, you want to have relations? Okay, well, then I got to do a bedikah first. So if he comes back from a trip, he left her b'chazkas tahara, and now he wants to have relations with her. And he actually says, can we do it? So she would remember, well, wait a minute, actually a few days ago I had my period, therefore I'm tummy. Or okay, I'm not sure, let me do a bedikah.
So you said before she had to say tahara.
That's if he left her b'chazkas tahara. We're talking about he left her b'chazkas tahara. So she doesn't need to say tahara. But the point is, she'll be able to remember. Tosfos points out the difference is, that's what we're talking about, he came back from a trip. Because if he came back from a trip, he's taking more time to get her in the mood before they have relations, therefore there's much more time for her to remember. As opposed to if he wasn't away on a trip, Tosfos says, they're much more likely to do it spontaneously, very quickly, and she may not have time to remember. Okay.
So?
Yeah. So that's the difference. So when the Braisa says that they're mutter whether awake or asleep, we're talking about because she was b'chazkas tahara, and because he's actually asking her, can we do it
after
coming back from the trip? And therefore, yeah.
So then they
can do it, right? Because if she's not tahara, then she'll tell.
As opposed to
if he didn't leave town,
then
okay. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, ma'u l'mebed ki ha'masnisa. So Rav Papa asks Rava, can we actually follow this Braisa and say that she's asleep, can we say that you need either bedikah or you need him to ask, can we have relations, and that would be enough. Amalei, so Rava tells him, Sudni loy. Sudni, don't we should Rav Papa is asking that we're saying in the Braita, we just explained the Braita to be saying that either she requires a bedikah, or it needs to be that he actually has to be teveya, that he actually asks her to have relations after coming back, we're talking about, and then that's the equivalent of bedikah. Can we actually follow that? Well, look. Amalei, sort of, Rava answers him, Sudni loy. He says to him, Sudni, and we'll explain in a second what Sudni means, no, Demeganya ba'afe, because she actually doesn't require a bedikah, because then she'll be less attractive to him, because again, the fact that she needs a bedikah, like we said before, libo noikloy. What does Sudni mean? Rashi says two explanations. One is that Sudni means a tamad chacham. So Rava is calling Rapapa by a compliment. He's calling him Sudni, Tamar Chacham, based on the word Soid Hashem Lirea. So Sudni, whatever, would mean like the one who's privy to Hashem's secrets. The other explanation, Rashi explains, is that Sudni means a beer brewer, which is how Rapapa... No, it's not derogatory necessarily. It's just it's calling him by a name of what he did for a living. And because that's what it was. Rapapa was, in fact, a brewer. That's how he made his money. What does it have to do with this? It doesn't necessarily have to do, but whatever. The point
seems to be meaner here, so
no.
You don't understand a lot.
No, not necessarily. No.
So why is he calling him a bit?
Because he could be. Sometimes you have some of the Chachamim have pet nicknames for their Talmidim. Shmuel often calls Rabbi Hoda Shinina. So Rava sometimes could call Rapapa Sudni. Okay. Anyway, that's all one explanation in Rashi. The other explanation Rashi says is that the Braisa seems to be saying that you don't need a bedikah, because Rapapa figured, when the Braise says that the Rapapa figured, maybe it's not a difference between whether he went away on a trip or whether he was at home all the time. Maybe Rapapa does not know whether the Braise is saying Dafka that he came from a trip, that it's only in that case, but maybe it would be different if he was at home, like Tosfos said before, or maybe not. So Rava answers him, loy miganya ba'ape. It's a rhetorical question then. If you're going to require a bedikah, wouldn't it be unattractive to him? So therefore it shouldn't be required. It means, in other words, exactly that. But you don't need a bedikah in that case.
Even
after he comes back, right? If you're going to require a bedikah, halo timois because gana b'fana. Rashi says, yeah, she's going to be unattractive to him. The fact that we require a bedikah. Tosfos has yet another explanation that it means we're talking about she's asleep. If you have to wake her up enough to be able to answer whether she's Tahar or not, then it's going to be unattractive. So therefore, we shouldn't require it. Okay. So the question is, okay, so Omer of Kahana, so Rav Kahana says in this connection, she'il tinu la'anshi beisei d'rapapa u'd'rapona brei d'rav Yeshua, I ask the members of the household, I mean the wives of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, I asked them, practically speaking, how does it work with your husband? Ki osu rabbanan mibei rav, when the rabbis, meaning your respective husbands, when they come home from yeshiva, where they're out of town for a while learning in the big yeshivas, and then they come home.
Halacha is still halacha.
Matzvil chilechu bedikah, do they require you to do a bedikah before they're going to have relations? But Omruli Loi, and these women answer, no, our husbands don't require.
So that confirms what we
right. So the question is, Vilichai Linu Lididhu, why did Rav Kahana have to ask Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yerushua's wives? Why didn't he ask Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yerushua themselves? The answer, it's not to ask the women either. No, the answer is, Dilma Inhu Kamachmiri Anapshayhu, because Rav Kahana felt that if I asked them directly, maybe they might be machmir for themselves. So it might be, in other words, they would answer that we do require a bedikah, not because it's actually required of the halacha, but because they're machmer on themselves and their wives, and they're not worried about this miganya ba'afe. They're not worried it's going to be unattractive, and therefore they would require it of their wives, but not miganya ba'afe means it should be unattractive to him. Miganya maloshim gnai. So they might be machmer on themselves. So therefore, he preferred to ask the wives because if the wives say that we do it, then okay, means they do it. If not, then not. Right, basically. Rashi quotes another explanation that inu machmiri anafshayhu, that maybe they would be requiring a bedikah, but they're not requiring their wives to. But Rashi says that's backwards. You can't be mako on yourself like that and machmer on other people. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Turn it up on them. So the halacha is therefore that if he left her b'chaz katara, we don't need a bedikah. So we said even if she's asleep, he doesn't have to ask her. He can assume that she's still tahor.
If she's not asleep, does he have to ask her?
If she's not asleep, then he has to ask her.
He does.
I'm not so sure about that. But the point is, if she's awake, she would have the presence of mind to tell him. Right, and if
that's
he does,
not the question.
Right.
The question is,
he doesn't have to, I don't think he has to. I'm pretty sure the halacha is he doesn't have to ask her then. The fact is, because she would volunteer that information if she's awake. Right. Okay. Turn it up. Isha she'en lo vest, the Braisa says, a woman who does not have a regular vest, so it said you don't know when she might bleed, asura l'shama, she's not allowed to have relations, because any time it might happen that she starts bleeding during having relations. No, forget about Daya Shaito. I mean, in other words, that she can't have relations with her husband, because every time she does, there's a possibility. Any time, if it's random, she could...
Right.
Yeah, so that's the point. So she's not allowed to have relations with her husband, because you never know, any time it might start meeting. The Eimlo loy ksuba, so therefore she's not entitled to a ksuba from her husband, because the whole reason why he married her and gave her a ksuba is because he's going to marry her and have relations with her, and now he's not allowed to. The loy peiris, she doesn't get back any of the peiris of nichsim alug that her husband ate. Now, on the face of it, you should argue that she should, because after all, if it's considered like they weren't married in the first place, then shouldn't she be entitled to those peiris back? The Tosfos explains when she married,
she had a vet and then she lost.
No, she never had one in the first place. So they shouldn't have gotten married in the first place. So why are we saying that she's not entitled to the payers back? So Tosfos brings from Gemara and other places that actually it depends. Tosfos says
And it doesn't really matter whether he knew of this condition beforehand or not. If he didn't even know she has this condition, then it would be mekach tov. He would have never married her had he known that. And if he and even if he knew of her.
Like that.
It doesn't matter. The point is, if he didn't know about it, then it would be a mekach tov, and therefore, if he knew, then still. Okay. Anyway, if he knew in advance when she doesn't have a vet, so then we would say it'd still be also he shouldn't have married her, right? And so why is she not entitled to the peiros? Basically, Tosfos says because she would like to be married. It's good for a woman prefers to be married, and therefore, like, she has that benefit, right? Okay. So she doesn't get the peiros. V'loy mezonos. She's not entitled to mezonos from her husband. For example, if he went out of town before he divorced her, Beis Din will not say that we're going to take estimate. Oh, no, it just means that she has to support herself. V'loy blois, and also she's not entitled to blois. Blois literally means worn out things. So Rashi explains, we're talking about nichset soin barzo. Remember, you have two types of property that a woman brings into the marriage. There's nichset malug, where the husband gets to use them, but the guf of them belongs to the wife. And there's nichset soin barzo, where the husband has, where he takes it over, basically, but he has to return to her whatever's left of it afterwards. In this case, Rashi explains that we're talking about if there's anything of the nichset soin barzo that's worn out, he doesn't have to return it to her, even though those worn out things still exist. Many other Rishonim explain that's not what we're talking about. What we mean is many other Mefarshim explain that what we mean is rather. If the blois exists, then he has to return them to her. What we mean is, if they got completely worn out and the whole keren is gone, he doesn't have to reimburse her for it. Okay. Anyway, again, so the point is they weren't supposed to get married. The yotzi v'leimachzor elomis, and they have to divorce her, and he can never remarry her, even if she gets healed of this condition. Divrei Rav Meir. This is all what Rav Meir says. Rav Chanina ben Antigna says, no, it's not quite that bad. Meshameshet b'shnei edim. Every time she has relations, she's going to have to use two cloths to do a bedikah, before and after. Because what happens? Hein ivstua, hein tiknua. Those cloths will either mess her up or fix her up. If we see before or after that she's bleeding, then we know there's a problem. If there's no blood, then we're good. Mishum Abba Chanan Amru, then in the name of Abba Chanan, they said a third opinion, oy loy labayla, woe to her husband. What do you mean, woe to her husband? The Gemara is going to explain. Okay, so that's the Braisa. Now,
she only finds out about the disease when she gets married.
So that's what that, no, not necessarily, because in those times, especially people have to be careful with Tumah V'Tahara, she might well know of this many years before she gets married. First of all, even nowadays, if there's no Tumah V'Tahara, even though there's no Tumah V'Tahara nowadays, a woman has a pretty fair idea of when she's bleeding and when not. You know, she knows. She knows whether she has a cycle or not.
Oh,
yeah.
So she doesn't have it.
Right. Okay. So let's analyze the Braisa. We said, Asura L'Shamish, why is it she's not allowed to have relations? The reason is, Dilma M'Kalkalaflay, because things may get messed up. Anytime they have relations, she might bleed. And as we learned in Shavuot, if that happens during the time they're having relations, then he has to stay there immobile, wait till it softens, only then pull out. So that's complicated. The Ein L'Ksuv, and then he's B'chai B'chasas. Eva Ein L'Ksuva, we said she doesn't get a Ksuva, why not? Kivin L'Chazil Abiyah, because if she's not suitable to have relations with, according to the mayor, then she doesn't get a less L'Ksuva, she doesn't get a Ksuva. The whole purpose of, the whole idea behind a Ksuva, they got married, and one of the things between husband and wife is that they're going to have relations like this, they can't do that. The Lois Paris, Voloy Mazonis, Voloy Blois, why does she not get Paris back?
The marriage is considered consummate?
Well, it was consummated, but the fact is it shouldn't have happened. And the fact is, now they can't have relations. So therefore, yeah. Paris, Volumizonis, Volumizonis, why does she not get back the Paris of what her husband ate? Or why does she not get Mizonis out of his property? And why does she not get Blois, the worn-out parts of Nichze, Sonbaris, or whatever? Because Tnoi Ksuba, Ksuba, Dumbo, because you have, these are all Tnoi Ksuba, these are all conditions that come along with Ksuba. No Ksuba, no conditions. But then he said, V'yosi, V'lo Yachzu, Elomis, We said that there are, by the way, some Rishonim who learn in connection with this Veloy Blois that if there was Tosfos Ksuba, she does get that. You often have, you find standard Ksubas nowadays, you have a minimum amount that the Chassan is required to set aside for his wife, 100 Zuz if she was a Ba'ula, 200 Zuz if she's a Psula, and then you usually have a Hosef, or Tzvi Marv, a Tzvi Reb, whatever, or a Hosef Law, and he decided on his own to add more. That Tosfos Ksuba, many Rishonim say she will get, because that was his own choice to give her. It's not part of the regular chinoy.
They give it based on marriage, but there's no marriage over here.
Fine, but the fact is, he voluntarily. Okay, so then we said the Yosef al Yachzor Elamis. We said he has to divorce her and they're never allowed to remarry. So the question is Pshita. Obviously, they can't get remarried. If she has this condition, then according to the Mary, you have the same problem as before. The answer is Loistricha de Hodra v'itachma. The chiddush is, let's say later on, her periods do get normal. They do get fixed up. Maud Tema Lehadra, so you would think that he should be able to remarry her. Kamash Malan, the reason why Rav Meir says that not, Dizimnin de Oslo Minsuba, because it could happen conceivably that she goes and marries somebody else, Umitakna, after she's married to somebody else, her periods get regular again. But Omar and her first husband says, Ilu Hayisi Adesh Kahoya, if I had known that was going to be the case, that this condition was curable, Afila Hayisi Noisimi Mea Mana, so even if he had given me 100 mana, a huge amount of money, Loi Hayisi Magarsha, I never would have divorced her. And in that case, it amounts to his Mavatal to get. The Nimsa get bottle of an Amam Zer, and then it comes out to get his bottle, because it was based on a. That's fine, but it's, so actually you have a. One second. Okay. So you actually have a machlokas rishonim. Are we talking about over here where when he divorced her, he explicitly said, I'm divorcing you because you have irregular, or is it, even if he didn't say that, but it's assumed. The fact that he's divorcing, or why we were divorcing her out of the blue, it's because of that, so therefore it might be. So him saying that might be mavasal to guess, and then the kid or children from her second husband are going to be mamzer. So therefore, that's why the mayor says he's not allowed to remarry her. Even if she didn't get married. He's not allowed to remarry her.
She married somebody else.
Well, that's the point. But even if she hadn't married anybody else, he's still not allowed to remarry her.
No, but that doesn't answer the question we have.
No, that's the answer.
If he had remorse and he would not have divorced her, if she goes and marries someone else, what happens?
That's the problem. We don't want to allow that there should be that possibility for remorse. So like this, when he first divorces her, we tell him, you should know this is permanent. Even if she gets healed, you are not going to be able to remarry her. Therefore, he won't have such thoughts. Right.
Or he'll be sure before he's
right.
Divorced.
Okay, then we said, let's try to finish the parak. Mishum Abba Chonon Omu, we said in the Braisa that they said in the name of Abba Chonon, Oy Loy Labayla, we said woe to her husband. So what does that mean? Ika to Amri Rav Meir, Omale. One explanation is that Abba Chonon is talking to Rav Meir. Rav Meir, you're saying she doesn't get her ksuba. Abba Chonon says, I disagree. The boy lag boya ksubasa. You do have to pay her ksuba. So therefore, woe to him. He ends up having to divorce her, and then he's also out 200 zuz. Another version is Abba Chonon is speaking to Rav Chanan ben Antignus. That Rav Chanan ben Antignus is saying it's okay, she just has to do two cloths every time. But Rav Abba Chonon would say no. Demakalkal would say no. There's still a possibility that it might mess her up, him up. Because what happens? She does the bedikah before, nothing happens, so they go and have relations, and then they do the bedikah afterwards, and what do you know? There's blood there, and then you have a problem that he's still done a serious avera. So according to that second version, that's Abba Chonon is saying Rav Chanan ben Antignus is not just good enough to use cloths.
But this is all in a situation
where she has irregular periods, right?
No, but also a situation there where you can't say it's coming from the actual relations.
Right. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Chanan ben Antignus. Now, halacha is like Rav Chanan ben Antignus. It's okay even if she has irregular periods, she just needs to be checking with cloth. So the question is, right. Over my, so the question is, okay, but what's the scenario we're talking about? Iba Sukkah B'Taris, if we're talking about where she does involve, if she is involved with preparing Taris, we already said that Shmuel had said that if she's also Pataris, then she needs Vedikas, and if she's not, then she doesn't. Chodazimna means one time. The Iva She'ena Asuka B'Taris, and if she's not anyway involved in doing Taris, didn't Shmuel already say that to have relations with her husband, she doesn't need B'dikka? And we explain that Amr Aleph, Ba'asuka B'Taris, that we're talking about specifically when she's involved with Taris. So what is it? So what are we talking about? Are we talking about a sukkah b'taris or not? The answer is man de masni l'ha loy masni ha. The answer is that there are two statements that Shmuel made, but the one who learned one did not learn the other, meaning that you have the Amoraim argue on what Shmuel is saying. And what Shmuel said. We are talking about she's also Pataris, but Rabbi Yehuda learned in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like a chanina ben antignus. She doesn't need to divorce her husband. She just needs to check before and after, bedik every time before and after. Rav Abba, who says that only if she's also Pataris, disagrees with that. He holds that Shmuel said differently. That's how Rashi. The halacha would be that only if she's also Kataris that she needs. Anyway, that's Rashi's explanation. Then Tosfos and other Rishonim bring a different explanation. Masniha like Masniha means we're not talking about two different opinions of what Shmuel said. We're saying that there are two different opinions. There are two different opinions what Shmuel said. It's not that we're saying what maybe he said one statement, maybe he said the other, but rather they're arguing what Shmuel would actually hold.
Amen.
The halacha actually is that she only needs a bedikah only if she's also kataris. If not, then she doesn't.
Amen.
Again, according to the Rambam, she'd need always afterwards. Well, anyway, according to everybody else. Hadron al-Shamayah.